Well, I have a confession. If y'all don't, yeah, really. If y'all don't know, I was in the Navy, and I'm a recovering Navaholic, and I tried to get a hotel room somewhere far away from the Navy base, and they sent me right next to it. And I was not going to go out. Doc asked me if I was going to go out there. I said, no, I'm not. I'm trying to recover. But I had two rookies from Dayton come down, and I fresh meat is what they were. So I called and asked him if they would if they wanted to go out and see a ship, and they said yes. Well, there's four or five of them out there, so I took them out there. And the reason I'm even saying this is I got out there, and here's these big ships. I'm telling you, man, I could taste the salt on the side of them. But anyways, all that aside. So when I got out there, when I talk about the Navy, that is just as much a part of me as anything else is. And here's these three guys sitting there, and these two ships over here. I'm like, I know they're not Spruance class, and I know they're not Ticonderoga class, and I know they're not Kidd class, but they're destroyers. I just don't know what to do. I went over and grabbed one of these guys and said, hey, you know, what are these over here? And he goes, well, they're DDGs. I said, well, they must be Arleigh Burkes. And then he told me the name of one. I said, yeah, that's an Arleigh Burkes class destroyer. And I started talking to these guys and almost had them all enlisted in the Navy. I mean, they were contractors. A few minutes, man, I would have had these guys in. I mean, they would have been in. And but what they seen, and while I'm talking to these guys, Mike and these two other guys back here, Mike and John were back there. I said, hey, man, bring some tracks over here. Bring some tracks here real quick. And they brought me one. We had one greatest story ever told. And I brought that over there and I gave it to them. And I said, hey, man, I'm a pastor of a little church up here. And then I went back to the Navy, and we started talking about ships and how I could taste the stuff, and I loved it. And there's a lot of stuff bad and a lot of stuff good. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And then they started getting into it, too. Now, these are contractors. If you know anything about a contractor, they go on a ship, they want to go home. These guys were fixed. They were mesmerized. They said, right, Mike? They stayed there. They wouldn't leave. You know what that was? That was somebody who was excited about something that they love. Telling somebody else about what they love. You know what I learned in the local church is I met somebody named Jesus one day. And I get the opportunity to go out and tell somebody about him. And I got that out of this right here. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, thank you for your blessings tonight. Lord, I do pray that you put your hand upon this meeting this week and in our hearts, Lord. Help us to get a little bit closer to you as you intended us all to, Lord, and help us to press to think that the thing that you left here for us, I know it's just it's an organization. We're the organism. But Lord, I just want to thank you for what you gave us, and it's called the local church. Bless tonight, Father, and bless the preachers for the rest of this week. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I won't be long, I promise you. I'm not lying. I have to, because I will get excommunicated if I don't. I'm going to try to do this in 20 minutes. But those guys out there, what they stuck. They just stuck right there. I couldn't leave them, and they wouldn't go. And I just kept telling him, man. And this one guy, two attracts, said, I'm going to read this thing. I'm going to read it. 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 You know what? I bet you the guy read it. I said, hey, when you get done with it, give it to these other two guys too. And you say, what is that? That is somebody telling somebody about something that they love. You know what I've learned over the years is to love something. He says up here, Jesus says, when I came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man? And the first one am. The first one said John the Baptist. Back in chapter 15, it starts out with Herod right there. And it says, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the fame of Jesus. So Jesus has already been around. This is 32 AD by Usher's notes. 32 AD sitting here, and he's saying, he says, I had to kill John the Baptist. This has to be him resurrected. It couldn't have been him resurrected. He was already alive. So it can't be him, but the world doesn't know that. What we do, brethren, is we go to the world trying to let them tell us what to do. I had a guy the other day come to me, and he calls me up, and he says, "Hey, Mike," he goes, and he's called me a couple times before. He says, "I'd like to bring my family to your church." I said, "Fine, you can do that. That's okay. I'm okay with that." And he goes, "But I don't like tithing." I'm like, "Why would you even bring that up to me right now? I mean, what in the world does that have to do with anything?" I said, "Who cares, man? You don't have to tithe." I said, "There's probably all kinds of people in my church that don't tithe." "I'm sure there's a bunch of you that don't." What would make some crazy nut give money to a group of people? Well, the Elks do it, man. The Elks get it. And the Mooses get it. And the Mormons get it. And the Masonic Lodge gets it. Well, why can't the church get it? You know, there's a reason why, and I got to really watch myself because I'll go blitzo here and I'll go out 2 days and then, man, it'll be all over. But he sits there, and these four guys, the question was great by Jesus. The Lord asked these men, his disciples, they've already been with him for 2 years. They already know him very well. It's not like, "I don't know who this man is." They've watched him. If you go back, he's fed 5,000. Now that could be around 12,000. He's fed 4,000. That could be around 8,000, 9,000. Time he had men, women, and children in there and everybody else. He's healed. He's done all this other stuff. They've watched what he's done, and they're sitting here, and they still don't grab what's really going on and what the Lord is trying to say. And they're still looking at the old religion that's sitting there, the Jewish religion, as maybe a form of telling them what we have to do out here. And you have to chunk everything, brother. You know what I had to do? I was born and raised Roman Catholic. I chunked it all, man. I just chunked everything. I chunked God. I chunked it all. And then I said, okay, one day the Lord started dealing with me, showed me something, and he said, "Mike, what do you think about this?" And I'm thinking. And what he gets me down to is the very next question. One disciple says John the Baptist, and some say Elias. And these are all great men in the Bible. These are all great men. There's nothing. I just read through Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a great book. He's a weeping prophet. And Elijah, I read through there, and all these men are great men. You'll find them all through there, but they're not what Jesus intended. He said, "I came to seek that which was lost." Amen. Then he gets into Luke, and he says, "I came to seek and save that which was lost." He's adding to what he's doing, and he's revealing that to us. Now, brother, I'm going to give you something precious here, and I'll be done. These men sit there. He asks a question, and everybody always dogs old Peter out. I love Peter, man. I can't wait to get to heaven to see Peter. I'm going to go up and shake his hand and say, "Brother, thank you for taking it for us." I mean, he took it in the neck for us, and it's written, and we get to read about his failures, and maybe just some of us can overcome his failure and not do the same thing he did. We'll do our own thing. We don't have to worry about that. Like I said, I am a recovering Navaholic, and I'm trying my best to not. I haven't went for the tour yet, but I'm holding back. But he goes, and Jeremiah's in one of the prophets. He said unto them, "But whom say ye?" Now he pops that thing right down to a personal. It was a public. Brethren, I am so tired of the church going to the public to tell me what to do. Look, if you don't want to give money, don't. You know what that tells me is you don't know the second part that I'm getting ready to talk about here. Because everything I have is his. It's not just my money. It's not my wife is his and my kids are all his. And if I had a dog, it would be his too. There's nothing I have. I'm ready to leave it behind at any moment. I'm not supposed to get excited. I'm trying to recover from that too, but I don't know what to do. But he says something, "But whom say," boy, when I read those passages, I don't know about you, but man, I can pull Peter out of there and I put Mike in there. He said, "Mike, whom say ye that I am?" Christ is trying to bring that thing down to a personal level to me to tell me something. He says, "Mike, I want to show you something that's greater than anything you'll ever get in your life." Amen. He goes, "And it's going to get you through your life, but I'm not going to show it to you unless you get a couple answers right first." And you know, I hear these people say, well, tithing's Old Testament. You know what that tells me? You don't know him. Or you have a problem with what you think you know about him. He's greater than that, brother. This local church, oh, I love this thing, man. I come in here, I can sit, I'm serious, I can sit here and just listen to the preachers preach. I don't have to preach. I really don't have to preach. Ask Dr. Peacock, he'll tell you that. I don't have to do this. I like to just hear somebody else talk about him. Man, that's all I like. I love it. Oh, man, I get addicted to that stuff. You know, the only place you really get that's right here. Amen. You can listen to it on YouTube. I'm telling you, you can. And people, I've had people come and say, brother, we listen to you. I'm going, oh, yeah. Have you ever looked at yourself on YouTube? Man, I need my face to be like one of them fuzzy things on YouTube. I'm going to ask Eric, can you like fuzz that thing out like they do and hide it? But anyways, I still got like 20 minutes. So I'll be done. I got my watch, brother, right there. I'm watching it. You're going to get stuff this week. It's talking about the local church. And if you could walk away from this meeting and understand how important this thing is in your life, I would not be here today if it wasn't for the church. I was the church. The night I got saved, man. I got a good dose of Jesus Christ. Today I got saved, and I'm done with that. You can't take it away from me. I couldn't give it to you if I wanted to. If I could, I would. I just can't. You're going to get it yourself. But he asked these guys this question, and he comes up to Peter. He didn't even ask Peter that. Boy, I love Peter, man. He just jumps out there, man, just blurts it out. Bleh. I'm always afraid of messing up. And Peter's just not my kind of guy, man, because he just messes up everywhere. He never thinks before he speaks, and I do that a lot. And that's why I identify with him, man. He's just like, not that he's just the number one disciple. No. He just messes up, man. I'm right there with him. He goes, but he said, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, and bam, he goes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, you got to get, it isn't that you just know about him. You need to know him. Amen. It's a relationship from Adam all the way down to the end of the Bible. It's a relationship. Everything is relationship. You know what Jesus is trying to establish with us? It's a relationship. And he uses certain things to do that as he goes along. It says, and Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Christ goes on and he says this. I'm going to let the passage really talk about itself. Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou. He got a blessing, number one. He got a blessing because he identified who he was. You know what a lot of us do? And I'll say, you know, me, you, everybody, and the world out there, they have no, first of all, the world has no idea who Jesus Christ is. They try to say he's this or he's that or he was the prophet or he was, they're comparing him to good people and good men. But these are his men, and you cannot compare anybody to him. You just can't do it. But he goes, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He looks right at him, and the relationship is established between him and Peter. He goes, Peter? He said, face to face. You know, he talked to Moses face to face. I don't know, but I want to talk to Jesus face to face. I want him to come face to face, and I may never, ever on this side of glory ever see that, which I probably won't. If I do, I'll die. I know I will. But I would just love to be in a place where that man was, that he's looking right in the eyes of the Savior. I mean, he's looking right at him. And the Lord says, hey, who's the world say I am? He's just fishing. He's fishing. And they go, oh, you're this, because they're afraid to step up and say, you're this. And then they go, but whom say y'all? You my disciples. Who do you say I am? Amen. You know when I was out there last night at that ship? There's one thing those guys knew when they got done with me. Well, actually, when I got done with them, they knew I was a sailor. They had no doubt in their mind that this kid was a sailor. And they had no doubt in their mind that this kid could get back on that ship and go out to sea and be a sailor. I might not be a very good one, but I could do it. They knew that. You know what this world needs to see? Is they need to see some Christians walk out there and they know who Jesus Christ is. I asked a guy one time, I said, he goes out, and he wanted to go do the street preaching. So I'm a street preacher too. I'm like, well, but he didn't want nothing to do with the local church. The local church is, you know, all you want is money, and all you want is this. Well, it takes money to turn the lights on. I got that, man. It takes this stuff so you can hear me, because if I didn't have it, guess what you'd do? You'd complain because you couldn't hear me. Right. And then I'd have to yell and scream, and then you're going to complain because I'm yelling and screaming. Amen. I had people talk to me and say, you talk too fast. I got people say you talk too slow. I got people say you're not excited enough. I don't know where that comes from, but they say that. I'm sitting there going, Lord, but you know what that is? That's the body of believers. I love all you guys, man. You encourage me to go on. I had somebody in here the other day tell me, he said, you can't come to this church very long and stay here if you don't come to a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services. And he goes, I'm like, you're absolutely right, man. I said, there's no way you can sit under that kind of preaching and just hang in there Sunday morning. It's rough. Because you're going to come around everybody else that's here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every time the door's open. Why would you come in every time the door's open? Because that's where the Lord's at. Yeah. That's what he said, do. He goes on here, he goes, and Jesus, he said, blessed art thou. Simon got a blessing out of that thing, man. I'm going to leave my notes over here, otherwise I'll go too long. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed that to thee. You know how he got that thing? God. Now, I don't know about you, but I sit out on the back porch and used to talk up to the sky God all the time. I said, hey, you up there in the sky. I mean, you've heard my story. I said, hey, you up there in the sky, if you're there, if you're really there, you better come and tell me, because I'm going to come up here one day and I'm going to be in big trouble. I can't even tell you how many times I said that. And one day, you know what he did? He came and told me. You say, he won't do that. He said he's not a respecter of any person. I'm a Gentile dog. And he came right down there and he said, you really want that? I didn't get to get in a church for 4 years. You know why? And I here lately, I've been debating on that. And when Dr. Peacock asked me to preach, I didn't think he would, but I'm glad he did, because I like talking about the church. This is the greatest topic in the whole wide world. I didn't get to get in church for 4 years after I got saved. And I always questioned the Lord, why? I said, Lord, why wouldn't you let me be in a church? He goes, because I saved you on a back porch in Louisville, Kentucky, and you know you're saved. I ain't going to let somebody else mess you up. I finally got it, man. I finally got it. If you don't get into the book and understand what you're into, the local church is just a building to you. This is not just a building to me. I will do what I got to do to help you guys make it. And if I have to go to the background, I'll go to the background. If I have to be put down, I'll be put down. I don't care. It's about him. It's always been about him. It'll always be about him. And that's what he's asking these guys is, what do you think? Peter goes, you're God, man. He goes, you got it. Now I'm going to show you something else. He shows him right here. And I'm going to show you the importance in 10 minutes. You're going to get this all week, brother. By the time you get out of here, you don't know what church is. He says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. It wasn't Christ that showed it to him. He said, my Father showed you that. He goes, you could not say that. You could not say that unless God showed it. Herod could not say that. The Pharisees could not say that. Nicodemus could not say that at first. All these guys at the beginning could not say that. If you can say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he saved my soul and I'm on my way to heaven, you're a candidate for what he's getting ready to give. You got a gift of God right there that goes beyond eternity. Well, I don't know if it goes beyond eternity. It can put you in it, though. Eternity's like forever. You can't go beyond. It's a thing, a concept. I mean, it's weird. The Lord does some weird things. You ever thought about what the Lord does sometimes? I sit there looking at that ship. Now, see, I'm telling you, I'm a Navaholic. I'm really not a Navaholic. I am really, but I'm lying. Alcoholics all lie about everything. But I'm looking at that ship, and I'm thinking about this little boy on the back porch in Louisville, Kentucky, that he thought his life was over. And there was never nothing there. And the Lord says, hey, you want to go in the Navy? I said, yeah. He goes, go over and join. They ain't going to take me. Go over and join. I said, go join, you idiot. Go. So I go, and I get in. And I'm looking at that ship, And I was on the back of a ship in the middle of the ocean one time, and the Lord, I was mad. The Lord came down and said, hey, Dami, he goes, you know how hard it is for me to get somebody like you on a ship out in the middle of the ocean? Like right where you're at on a guided missile destroyer? You may not think that's nothing, but he goes, that's a lot. I said, yeah, that is, man. That's pretty cool, man. When I look at those ships, I'm too fat and old. I can't go on those anymore. I guess World War III could break out and they could take me back. But God was all over that thing from that. Everything about those memories is God's all over it for me. And I see the Lord's hand all the way through those things in my life. And I'm sitting, I never can get it out. And he goes, Mike, we went out to sea. And you know how important the local church is? We'd go out to sea for 6 months. I had a chaplain call me down to his office one day, me and another guy. And he said, Mike, you're not Protestant. I said, yeah. How'd you know that? He goes, is it the tracts? Is it the preaches? What? How do you know that? He goes, and you're not Catholic. I said, yeah. He goes, you used to be. He goes, he said, you need to start a church on this ship. That thing went for 25 years, and I can't tell you how many guys got saved off that. I just found out recently how that happened. I didn't even know what happened. God does. He doesn't have to tell you nothing. But that's what he did. You know, because you know what God said? Mike, if you can't be in a local church back in Norfolk, we're going to put one on your ship. It's a local, independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Baptist church on a ship. In the middle of the ocean. My God is great, man. He's so serious. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. You know how you get that? That's a gift of God. And then he goes right here and he says, and I say unto thee, he was showing, if a person can't ever grasp the word of God, if a person can't grasp who Jesus Christ really is, he's not just a little baby that was born in a manger 2,000 years ago and he was raised, and 33 years later he died on a cross and he rose from the dead. And we say those words and they kind of just drip off our lips, and they really don't, we don't grasp what we're really talking about when we say those words. But one of these days I'm going to take my last breath, and when I do, I'm going to open my eyes up and he's going to be standing right there, and I'm going to sit back and he's going to flood my mind with all the things he did for me during my life. You know what I like the local church about? Because I get to enjoy those all the way through. You know what this does for me? It gets me in here and I get to watch what God's done in my life, in your life, in my kid's life, in your kid's life, in your dog. I don't care in whose life. I get to watch. I don't have to watch somebody come in and get saved. Somebody come in and trust Jesus Christ. I like to see being able to fall off something and do something for Jesus, man. You know, I've been hurt more around the local church than I've ever been hurt anywhere. And I love every bit of it. Man, it's more fun. I've hit my head on chips, but man, I've got really hurt in that church. But he goes on right here and he says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. These men didn't really understand what Jesus Christ was saying. It's the beginning of something. Christ always... you go back to Adam and Eve. If you told Adam and Eve that Jesus Christ was going to come 4,000 years later and die on the cross and shed his blood at Calvary, they wouldn't have had a clue what you were talking about. All the way through there, it's a progressive book to me. It always has been progressive. And I see what God's going to do, and it goes out into eternity past all this other stuff. And he's up here, and he's starting to start something with a group of men, and he's going to have to go to Calvary, and we know that, and we know the story. But right here, these men in their day, if you put yourself in their position, they did not have a clue what Jesus Christ was talking about. And he was telling them, he said, only my Father can tell you what you just said. Only God can give you what you just got. Don't waste what I give you on this world. Don't let this world take away from you what I just gave you. I personally don't need to speak in tongues. You probably think I do. I don't need to heal anybody. I can tell you who the great physician is. Amen. I don't need to do, I'm telling you, brother. I mean, I just like sitting back thinking about him. I mean, just thinking, Jesus, man. I mean, one of these days, keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. It is simple. I said, Lord, you're God. And he goes, I'm going to build my church. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I started thinking about that thing. I said, Lord, what a blessing. You started something. And 2,000 years later, it is still meeting my needs. Amen. It's still got it. Brother, I'm done. I'm finishing right there. It's still everything. It's everything to me. It's everything to you. It's for your family. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for your friends. It's for the lost. The local church is their hope.